Jiho and I met at a tech conference in Seoul, South Korea. It was a chance encounter, both of us reaching for the same pamphlet on a table. We laughed about it, and soon enough, we were talking about everything but tech. She had this infectious energy, a spark in her eyes that I couldn't resist. We both loved coding, but our conversations often veered into art, music, and our shared dream of living in New York City. A few months into our romance, we took the leap and moved there. Life in the Big Apple was a dream come true. We both landed jobs at prestigious tech firms, and the city's energy was intoxicating. But as the months went by, the pressures of work and adjusting to a new culture began to take a toll on our relationship. We started to drift apart, our conversations becoming more about deadlines than dreams. Jiho had grown up in a tight-knit family in Busan. She was the youngest of three sisters and was always the peacemaker. She had a way of making everyone feel heard and valued. But lately, she had been distant, lost in her thoughts. I knew she missed her family, especially her grandmother, who had passed away just before we moved. I wanted to do something to bridge the gap that had formed between us. So I suggested a getaway, a week away from the city, away from the noise and the stress. We decided on an Airbnb in the mountains of upstate New York. The pictures showed a beautiful, secluded home surrounded by trees. It seemed perfect. The drive up was quiet. The tension between us was palpable. But as we got closer to our destination, the beauty of the surroundings began to work its magic. The dense forests, the serene lakes, the crisp mountain air seemed to breathe life back into us. By the time we reached the house, we were laughing and joking like old times. The house was even more beautiful in person, a two-story wooden structure with large windows that let in an abundance of natural light. The interior was cozy, with a fireplace in the living room and a kitchen that looked out onto the woods. Our bedroom was upstairs, offering a panoramic view of the mountains. Our first day was spent exploring the nearby trails and enjoying the vibes of nature. Jiho seemed to come alive in the woods. It felt good seeing her smile and laugh again. That night, we cooked dinner together, dancing around the kitchen to our favorite songs. It felt like we were reconnecting, finding our way back to each other. But on the second night, things took a terrifying turn. We were jolted awake by a loud noise coming from downstairs. It sounded like someone was rummaging through the living room. Panic set in as we realized there was an intruder in the house. We exchanged a terrified glance, both of us thinking the same thing. We needed to get out. But our car keys were on the island counter in the middle of the kitchen. We had to find a way to retrieve them without alerting the intruder. Jiho, always a quick thinker, motioned for me to follow her. She whispered about a small balcony attached to our bedroom. We could use it to climb down using the trellis that ran alongside it. A trellis is basically a wooden framework on the side of the balcony, often used to support climbing plants. It was risky, but it was our best shot. We carefully opened the balcony door, trying not to make a sound, and started climbing down. Once on the ground, we crouched low, making our way to the back of the house. As we approached the kitchen window, we could see the silhouette of a man inside. He seemed frantic. I waited for the right moment, and when he moved out of the kitchen, I saw my chance. The window was slightly open, which is probably how the intruder had gotten in. I carefully climbed in, trying to be as stealthy as possible. I tiptoed to the island counter and reached out for the keys. But in a rush, I knocked over a glass vase. The crash echoed through the house. The intruder, hearing the crash, stormed into the kitchen. He saw me right away, and without hesitation, he snatched a knife from the counter I was nervous as hell, but deep down, a sense of preparedness took over. Years of practicing Taekwondo, a Korean martial art I had dedicated myself to, suddenly became more relevant than ever. With the knife raised, he lunged at me, aiming for a swift strike. Drawing on my training, I was able to dodge the attack and knock him to the ground. I quickly assumed a dominant position and manipulated his wrist in a way that forced him to drop the knife. Once he did, I dropped a hard elbow right onto his nose. Recognizing the need to escape rather than prolong the confrontation, I bolted for the front door, shouting Jiho's name and urging her to hurry. We ran like hell towards the car and jumped in. I started the engine as Jiho locked the doors. The headlights illuminated the front of the house, and for a brief moment, we saw the intruder. His face, bloody and full of rage. We didn't wait to see what he would do next. I floored the accelerator and we sped away, leaving the house and the intruder behind. The drive back to the city was a blur. We didn't speak, the shock of what had happened still sinking in. As the sun started to come up, I held Jiho's hand. We went through something scary, but we did it together. Back in the city, we reported the incident to the police and the Airbnb host. They were horrified and promised to take immediate action. We were shaken, but grateful to be safe. I'd always loved traveling and sharing my adventures online. My name's Emily. And back when I was 27, I was deep into my travel blogging phase. For nearly 10 years, I'd been jumping from one place to another. My family always said I got the travel bug from my grandma. She traveled a ton when she was younger and had the wildest stories. I wanted my own stories, but with a modern twist. With the internet, I could share all my experiences with pretty much everyone. California had been on my radar for a while, but I wasn't into the usual touristy spots. I was craving the quiet, untouched parts. So when I came across this cabin in the woods on Airbnb, it seemed like a dream. The pictures were of this snug little place, all wrapped up in trees, and the reviews were super positive. Everyone kept going on about how peaceful it was. It looked like the perfect spot to relax and maybe get some writing done for my blog. But on my second day there, as I was fiddling with my camera on the porch, this guy showed up. He claimed he'd booked the same cabin for that week. He seemed cool about the whole mix-up, saying he'd just find another spot. We chatted for a bit, mostly about how awesome the woods were. I had no clue this simple chat was about to take a really strange turn. The next morning, while I was having my coffee and just soaking in the view, I spotted that same guy from the day before heading towards the cabin. He flashed a friendly smile and mentioned he thought he left something behind and wanted to check. It struck me as odd because he never actually stayed here, but I let him have a quick look. He didn't find anything and left soon after, mentioning he'd found another cabin a few miles off. But then, he kept popping up, every time with a different excuse. One day, he was on the hunt for a lost dog. Another day, he needed to borrow a flashlight. And then, he was asking about good hiking spots. It started to get under my skin. He was always polite, but there was this look in his eyes that just gave me the creeps. I started wondering if all these visits were just coincidental, or if there was something more going on. During one of my trips to the local store, I chatted with the lady at the counter about this guy. Her face turned serious, and she told me to be on my guard. She hinted that there were some unsettling stories tied to these woods. She didn't spill all the beans, but it was enough to make me even more on edge. That night, as it got super dark outside, every little noise had me on edge. I thought maybe I'd try to sleep it off, hoping I'd feel better in the morning. But just as I was about to doze off, there was this soft knock. My heart was pounding like crazy. Deep down, I just knew it was him. I peeked out the window, and sure enough, there he was. Just a shadowy figure in the faint moonlight. He seemed to be suggesting that his car had broken down close by. I wasn't sure what to do. Part of me wanted to help, but something felt off. Then it hit me. My phone has some bars, so I thought of calling for a tow truck or some kind of help. But he quickly made it clear he didn't want that, becoming noticeably antsy. The laid-back, friendly vibe he gave off earlier seemed to have been completely gone. Instead, there was this sense of urgency about him. That's when I decided to trust my gut. I let him know from behind a locked door that I couldn't assist. I double-checked all the locks and spent the night wide awake. Every sound had me on high alert. The cabin, which I initially thought was this cool, isolated spot, suddenly felt way too isolated. When morning finally rolled around, I was already gathering my things to leave. I just wanted to get out of that cabin and forget the whole creepy situation. But just as I was about to head out, there was another knock. My heart dropped, but when I opened the door, it was a lady from the local store with a cop. She'd gotten worried after our chat and thought she'd swing by to see if I was okay. Seeing them was like a weight lifted off my shoulders. The cop took down everything I told him and started looking into the guy. The weirdest part was that nobody nearby had any clue who he was. He hadn't booked any cabin around there. Realizing he'd made up all those stories that he had no real reason to be there freaked me out even more. I was so glad I listened to that gut feeling and kept my distance. Fast forward to now, 3 years later, I'm still traveling and blogging about all my trips, but I'm a lot more careful about where I stay. After that incident, I reached out to Airbnb explaining the situation. They were super understanding and even refunded me for the nights I didn't stay. And as for cabins, I've steered clear of those. Some memories just stick with you, I guess. When I moved to the new city for my job, I had a hard time finding a decent place to stay. Hotels are way too expensive for the long haul, so I ended up on Airbnb one night, just trying to find something that wouldn't break the bank. I came across this cottage on the edge of town. The pictures looked alright, showing a decent living space and a fireplace. The reviews were just okay, not great. Some folks had a few complaints, others just seemed indifferent. It wasn't ideal, but with my budget and the time crunch, I figured I'd give it a shot. I've always been a city guy, grew up in the middle of all the noise and lights. After my parents died when I was just a kid, my aunt took me in. She was all about the city life, always talking about how her childhood in the countryside was too quiet and kind of lonely. But I was curious about that kind of life, and this cottage seemed like a chance to experience that. The first day there was pretty normal. I unpacked, set up my work stuff in the living room, and even took a walk in the nearby woods. It was nice, with fresh air and the kind of quiet you don't get in the city. But when night came, and I was trying to relax, I felt there was more of this place than met the eye. By the second night, things started feeling a little off. Every night, around 2 a.m., I'd hear a car pulling up outside. The usual engine sounds, tires crunching on gravel. But then, there were these hushed voices, like folks trying to keep it down. What really threw me off was this noise, like something heavy being dragged. The same sequence played out every night, and then everything would just go dead silent. I tried to convince myself it might just be some local thing, or maybe neighbors up to who knows what. Getting a good night's sleep became a challenge. Lying in bed, I'd anticipate those sounds, trying to brush them off as nothing. But like clockwork, they'd kick in every night. I considered calling Mrs. Wren, the woman I rented from, to see if this was some regular occurrence. But I held back, not wanting to come off as a jittery city guy spooked by typical country sounds. One evening, I decided I had to know. I adjusted the curtain on the window that looked out to the driveway, leaving just enough space to see out without being seen. I was determined to figure out what was happening, even if it meant another restless night. I was hunkered down, peeking through that small gap in the curtain. After what felt like forever, I heard the car. It was that old, rusty-sounding one. Two people got out, both in hoodies, so I couldn't see their faces. But then they went to the trunk and pulled out this big, wrapped-up thing. They had a hard time with it, like it was really heavy. And that's when my heart started going crazy. They started dragging that bundle towards the woods, behind the cottage. It sounded even creepier up close. I was trying to stay as still as possible, hoping they wouldn't notice me. But then, as they headed into the trees, something caught my eye. There was this small shiny thing left on the ground by where they parked. Even from where I was, it looked a lot like a pendant, the kind Mrs. Wren had on when I first met her. I stayed put, trying to calm my racing heart until I heard the car start up again and drive off. Everything went quiet, and all that was left was that shiny pendant on the ground. The moment I was sure those folks were gone, I grabbed my things and hightailed it out of there. Every little noise freaked me out, and I kept looking over at the woods, thinking those people might come back. As I was heading over to my car, I saw the pendant on the ground. It was definitely the same one Mrs. Wren had on. I left it right where it was and just focused on getting out of there. I didn't even think about leaving a review on Airbnb. I mean, I wouldn't even know how to explain all of that. Instead, I drove until I found a motel and checked in. Being back in a more urban setting with the sounds of cars and people felt good. It was like a reminder that I was back in the real world. Weeks later, I still couldn't forget that place. Every time things went silent, my mind would drift back to that night. The cottage, the pendant, and Mrs. Wren just wouldn't leave my thoughts, and I kept wondering about the secrets those woods held. I'm still unsure what I saw that night, but maybe it's best that I don't know. I've always been a workaholic. Ever since my divorce 2 years ago, I'd thrown myself into my job, traveling from city to city, presenting at conferences and sealing deals. It was a way to keep my mind off things, and the change of scenery was often a welcome distraction. My friends often joked that I should start a travel blog, given the number of places I'd been to. But this trip to Portland was different. It wasn't the city itself, but the Airbnb I'd booked. The house was a beautiful, old Victorian, nestled in a quiet neighborhood with towering trees lining the streets. The photos online showed a well-maintained interior with antique furniture and a cozy fireplace. The host had glowing reviews, with guests raving about the charm of the place. When I arrived, the key was right where the host said it would be, and I settled in, admiring the intricate woodwork and the vintage decor. It felt like stepping back in time. That first evening, after a long day of meetings, I decided to unwind with a glass of wine in the living room. With the city skyline in the distance, the house seemed like a peaceful retreat. As I sipped my drink, I thought I heard a faint creaking sound coming from above. I figured it was probably just the house settling, and soon drifted off to sleep on the couch. The next day, I woke up with a bit of a wine headache. I remembered dozing off on the couch and saw my half-empty glass still there. I had a bunch of meetings, so I grabbed some breakfast and headed out. The house, with its old charm, was growing on me, even with its creaky floors. But those creaks, every night they seemed to get louder. At first, I just chalked it up to the house being old. But then, other weird things started happening. One night, I came back and noticed my stuff had been moved around. Not a lot, just enough for me to barely notice. Some of my snacks from the kitchen were definitely missing. And there was that evening when, out of the corner of my eye, I was sure I saw something move down the hall. When I checked, there was nothing, just an empty hallway. I considered messaging the host. I wanted to tell them that things seemed a bit sketchy, but I held back. It would have sounded strange to complain about creaks and missing snacks. But every night, I felt more and more like I wasn't alone in that house. One night, after another draining day, I decided to take a hot shower. The bathroom had this old, clawfoot tub, and I thought it'd be relaxing. As the steam filled the room, I heard a noise that wasn't just the usual creaks. It sounded like footsteps, but not on the same floor. They were coming from above, directly over the bathroom. I felt a jolt of fear, and I quickly turned off the water, wrapping myself in a towel. I tried to convince myself that maybe it was just a squirrel or some critter that had found its way into the attic. But the pacing continued, slow and heavy. I mustered the courage to leave the bathroom, and as I did, I heard something that chilled me to the bone. Behind the attic came the sound of footsteps walking down a flight of steps. I started looking for my phone, thinking I could call someone, maybe the police. But then I realized I had left my phone in the bedroom. I felt trapped. In order to get to the bedroom, I would need to pass right by the door to the attic. Taking a deep breath, I decided to make a run for it. I sprinted down the hallway, my wet feet slipping slightly on the wooden floor. That's when I heard the footsteps pick up in speed. I quickly ran into the bedroom and grabbed my phone, which was laying on the bed, and turned to run straight for the front door. As I made it to the front entrance, the door to the attic flew open, crashing against the wall. I was too petrified to see who was chasing me, so I quickly unlocked the door and pulled the door open as fast as I could. I shot out of that house, still in my towel, screaming at the top of my lungs. It was freezing, and I was practically naked, but all I could think about was getting as far away as possible. I pounded down the street, yelling for someone, anyone, to help me. I chanced to look back and nearly tripped over my own feet. There was this tall figure, wearing a hooded jacket, just walking towards me. No rush, no emotion, just steadily coming closer. I was losing it. I kept running, shouting for help, when I saw a guy stepping out onto his porch a few houses down. He looked confused, probably drawn by my screams. But then he saw the hooded figure behind me, and his face changed instantly. I didn't have to ask. He ran down his steps, waving me over. I didn't waste a second rushing towards his house. I sprinted up his porch, and he pulled me inside just as the hooded figure was getting close. He locked the door immediately and grabbed his phone, telling me he was going to call the police. I could only nod, still trying to catch my breath. We waited in silence, listening for any sign of the hooded person, but there was nothing. The cops showed up a few minutes later, but by then, the figure was gone. After taking my statement, they gave me a blanket to cover and warm myself. Then, they went to investigate the house. They found my belongings scattered, but no sign of the hooded figure. They also contacted the Airbnb host, who was equally shocked and claimed ignorance about the whole ordeal. The police brought me my things, and I was finally able to get dressed. Charles, seeing how shaken I was, offered to drive me to a nearby hotel. I gratefully accepted, knowing I had to report this to Airbnb. No one else should ever have to experience such a nightmare. The Airbnb was weird from the get-go. I mean, it looked great in the photos, and the price was right, especially for someone like me trying to save every penny. But the second I walked in, it just gave off this weird vibe. Not haunted house kind of vibes, just not what I was expecting. Now, a bit about me. My folks didn't have great paying careers, so money was always tight. I was the first in my family to go to college, and while scholarships helped with the big stuff, the little expenses added up. City living isn't cheap, and every time the dorms kicked us out for a break, I was scrambling to find somewhere affordable to crash. That's how I ended up at this Airbnb, run by this old couple, the Carters. They seemed nice enough, a bit chatty, but harmless. They gave me a quick tour, pointed out where the snacks were, and left me to unpack. The room was decent, a bit dated with its old wallpaper and wooden floors that announced every step. But as I started to settle in, I couldn't get rid of this nagging feeling. Like when you think you've forgotten something, but can't quite put your finger on it. The place was quiet, maybe too quiet, and the thought crossed my mind that maybe I'd made a mistake booking this place. That night was something else. I had this nightmare, and it was the kind you can't shake off even after waking up. In the dream, the Carters were in the middle of some dark ritual. They were surrounded by candles, chanting in some strange language. What creeped me out the most was the fact that they were motioning for me to join them. I woke up in a cold sweat, trying to remind myself it was just a dream. I hadn't had a nightmare in years, and this one felt way too real. Needing to clear my head, I decided to grab a drink from the kitchen. But as I was making my way through the dimly lit living room, Mrs. Carter's voice echoed from a dark corner, mentioning how late it was for me to be up. It startled me, to say the least. I hadn't expected anyone to be there, especially not in the dark. The following day, I decided I was going to head over to the diner for breakfast. However, I couldn't find my keys. I checked all of my suitcases and bags, but they were nowhere to be found. Frustrated, I thought maybe they'd fallen behind the nightstand or under the bed. As I was on the floor checking for the keys, I noticed a loose floorboard. Curious, I pried it open a bit, and to my surprise, there was a small hidden compartment below. Inside were items that clearly weren't mine. Several smartwatches, a few tablets, high-end headphones, and a collection of IDs. What struck me was that all of the faces on those IDs were young, around my age. Piecing it all together, the unsettling dream, Mrs. Carter's unexpected presence the previous night, and now these belongings, I couldn't help but feel that something was seriously wrong with this Airbnb. After finding those items, I knew I had to bail. I started packing up, thinking I'd just drive to the nearest police station and spill everything. But as I was getting my stuff together, I took a peek out the window. The Carters were outside, chatting with a bunch of shady-looking people. They kept pointing at the house, and even without hearing them, I knew they were talking about me. I thought about calling the cops right then and there, but when I pulled out my phone, it was dead. I'd forgotten to charge it the night before, and now I was kicking myself for that rookie mistake. My car was out front, but with that group hanging around, there was no way I was walking out the main door. I remembered there was a back exit that led to a small yard, which bordered a dense wooded area. If I can navigate through those woods, I could circle around to the front of the house from a distance, using the trees as cover. Trying to be as quiet as a mouse, I sneaked to the back door, checking to make sure the coast was clear. Once outside, I made a beeline for the woods. The dense trees would provide some cover, and I hoped to use them to my advantage. As I moved stealthily, trying to keep the house in my peripheral vision, I aimed to get a spot where I could approach my car without being seen. But just as I was in the clear, a branch snapped behind me. They were on my tail. I had to move fast, darting from tree to tree, hoping to reach my car before they caught up. The moment I reached my car felt like a miracle. I fumbled with the keys, the adrenaline making my hands shake, but I managed to get inside and start the engine. Without looking back, I floored the gas pedal, the tires screeching as I sped away from that hell house. After driving for a while, I found a truck stop. The place was buzzing with truckers, grabbing a late night snack and coffee. I parked, went inside, and found a corner booth. Plugging in my phone, I waited for it to charge a bit before calling the cops. I told them everything, from me being chased to the hidden stash of belongings. They said they'd look into it, but I wasn't going to stick around and find out. I grabbed a coffee, paid, and decided to drive until sunrise. I moved back in with my folks for a while after that incident, until I could get back on my feet again. The Airbnb host was freaking weird. I can't pinpoint exactly what it was, but from the get-go, there was this vibe about him that made me nervous. It wasn't anything he said or did, but more about how he looked at us, like he was sizing us up or something. Vanessa, Gina, and I had been amped about this trip for a while. We'd been through a lot together since our college days, from wild nights out to cramming for exams. This trip was our way of letting loose and having some fun. We were all massive fans of Beyoncé, and when she announced her tour, we jumped at the chance to see her live. We didn't want to splurge on a hotel, so we decided to go for an Airbnb. The photos online made the place look cozy and inviting, and it was super close to the venue. It seemed perfect. But when we got there, the place felt different than the photos. It was a bit colder, and there was this weird smell. And then there was the host. Instead of just handing over the keys and heading out, he hung around, making awkward conversation. It wasn't anything specific he said, but the whole interaction just felt really uncomfortable. The first night, we tried to brush off our initial concern. We ordered some takeout, put on a playlist, and started hyping ourselves up for the upcoming concert. But every so often, one of us would glance out the window or pause to listen. It felt like we weren't alone, even though we were supposed to have the whole house to ourselves. Vanessa even joked that maybe the host had left some hidden cameras around, but the laughter that followed was more nervous than genuine. The next day, things got weirder. We'd come back from a day of exploring the town to find some of our stuff moved around. My makeup bag wasn't where I'd left it, and Gina's favorite jacket, which she draped over a chair, was now hanging in the closet. We tried to rationalize it, thinking maybe one of us had moved things without realizing. But deep down, we all felt that something wasn't right. The nervousness from the day before had grown into a nagging suspicion. That night, As we were hanging out in the living room, there was a sudden knock on the door. We weren't expecting anyone, and the timing was odd. Peeking through the window, we saw the host standing there, holding some tools. He said he needed to do a quick fix in the kitchen, something about a leaky faucet. But he hadn't given us any heads up or asked for permission. It was his house, sure, but we were the ones renting it. The whole thing felt invasive. We were supposed to be on a fun trip, but instead, we were on edge, feeling like we were being watched. The host's behavior in the kitchen was beyond bizarre. As he fiddled with his tools, he started having what seemed like a full-blown conversation with himself. One moment, he'd speak in a deep, gruff voice, scolding someone for some unknown mistake. The next, he'd reply in a higher, almost childlike tone, sounding apologetic and scared. It was like watching someone flip between two completely different people. Vanessa, trying to keep her cool, tiptoed closer to get a better look, thinking maybe he was on a call or something. But no, he was alone, just him and his tools. And then it got even weirder. He began arguing with himself, the two voices getting louder and more aggressive. The deep voice seemed to be getting angrier, while the higher voice sounded more and more terrified. At one point, he even started throwing tools around, all the while continuing this unsettling self-argument. When he suddenly slammed his hand on the counter and shouted in that deep voice, "They shouldn't be here." Vanessa had seen enough. She rushed back to us, her face drained of color, and relayed what she'd witnessed. We didn't stick around to see how that internal argument would end. The concert could wait. Our safety couldn't. We grabbed our bags, not even bothering to zip them up properly, and dashed out of the house. As we were rushing towards our car, we could hear the host losing his mind inside the house. He was just yelling, screaming, and breaking things. We quickly got inside the car and sped off. Vanessa suggested we stop at a hotel for the night, even if it meant spending more money. The next day, after some much-needed rest, we contacted Airbnb to report our experience. They were apologetic and promised to look into the matter, but it did little to ease our minds. We kept wondering about the host, about his internal struggles, and what might have happened if we stayed another night. The concert, which was supposed to be the highlight of our trip, became a mere distraction, a way to try and forget, even if just for a few hours.